on today's episode of the Hot Nerd Podcast, I have something super duper extra special for you. We hang out with the amazing dudes over at Punk Rock Safety. Can you believe it? Let's just get this party started. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at thehopnerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Hello, howdy, hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am so thankful that you choose to come and spend a little bit of time with me, roughly once a week, to talk about all things human and organizational performance, operational learning, curiosity, improvement, innovation. We may even sprinkle in a little bit of safety stuff here and there, and I'm glad that you're here for that party. I hope everything's going well for you in your neck of the woods, wherever that may be, and whatever you are up to. I hope that you are having an absolute blast. This is episode number 356. I deliberately looked this up because I always say we're just closing in on 400, but we are at 356. How stinking cool is that? That's a lot of episodes. And again, I'm just thankful that you're here for the party, that you are here for this ride, and that together we're putting a little bit of a positive dent in this big, crazy, wild, wacky, and wonderful world, in the universe, a positive dent in the universe. I told you right at the beginning, and if you can't tell, I'm freaking excited because I love these guys. We're hanging out with Ron, Ben, and Dave from Punk Rock Safety. How sweet is that? Hold on, I'm gonna look it up because I don't actually like write stuff out or do notes. We just rock and roll, as you'll see with this episode. But I'm typing it into my computer right now. Punk Rock Safety. I'm searching it. You can go to punkrocksafety.com to tune in to their podcast, and I'm sure you can find it everywhere that you find podcasts. I like to consume it over on YouTube, so make sure you go follow them along over there. And there's Punk Rock Safety merch. Let's see. What's this? Punkrocksafetymerch.com. Something that we share. We like making cool merch. That and probably a lot of other things that we are mutually into. But before we jump into this episode, do me a favor. I want to touch base on a couple things. Starting points. If you're looking for the physical card decks, you can find those over at startingpointcards.com, or the easiest of peasiest ways to find those is just go to thehopnerd.com. Click on Starting Points at the top. There are a couple different ways you can use those cards within your organizations. Of course, you can just buy the physical card decks, and there are bulk discounts applied there, or you can get the learning journals, and it has the original questions in there along with some space to take some notes and, actually go do some stuff with those things, you know, like learning teams, and then come up with really cool co-created improvement strategies with those nearest to the work. You know, that kind of stuff that we do. But you can also license the Starting Point stuff, which is really, really stinking cool. I've been working with more than a handful of organizations to do that here currently, where we work together and we brand Starting Point cards for you, and you get the licensure for those, and you get all the cool questions and all the cool stuff that we've got there, but it's tailored to your organization. And then you get to just like print them internally and just use them however you see fit for whatever that looks like. So if that sounds like something that you're into, again, just go over to thehopnerd.com, click on Starting Points. You'll see all the handy dandy buttons. It's all pretty easy peasy lemon squeezy. And you get in touch right there, or just send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. And speaking of operational curiosity, make sure you check out the latest book, Aren't You Curious? The Operationally Curious Leader. And boom, you guessed it. It's right where you'd expect it to be. It's on Amazon with every other freaking book like ever made, which is what's great about Amazon. Or if you're having a hard time finding it because it's new and sometimes the search engine things don't work for a bit, you can go over to, you guessed it again, thehotnerd.com. And just, you'll see the book. Scroll down through the pages. You'll see it. You'll find it all. I just wanted to share all that stuff with you. That's just a lot of the cool stuff that I've got going on right now, doing a lot of work with those handy dandy cards. We created those with leaders for leaders. And that's why there's thousands upon thousands upon thousands of them out in work worlds around the globe. And these new custom co-created, I don't know, customized license decks that we've been doing with organizations have just been that much more helpful. So, I wanted to share some of that with you and then tell you that if you need a hand, you know how to get a hold of me too, thehotnerd@gmail.com. So all that stuff's out of the way. All that stuff's out of the way, other than maybe telling you, make sure you go and you follow everyone that's on this podcast. These guys are just absolutely the coolest. Yeah. So Dave, Ben, Ron, they're just awesome. They're just awesome folks. Make sure you go follow them on LinkedIn or I guess anywhere else you can follow them. YouTube, make sure you subscribe to their podcast and get some cool stuff from their merch store, like some nice hoodies and shirts and cocaine water stuff. And I think they have vests. I don't know. I don't have it pulled up. I didn't click on it. I've not been there in a second. I don't know what all is happening over there, but I can promise you this. I can pretty much guarantee you this, that it's all cool, badass kind of sort of stuff. So I'm on a STFU, and let's jump right on in. I'll just throw a question out there. Do you guys want to introduce yourselves? I think everybody knows who you are. I don't think we have to do all that stuff.
Yeah, we don't have to do
that. No, okay, cool.
I mean, they know who Dave is.
Yeah, I'm managing director from Australia.
Yeah. Yeah, I worked with Dave. Dave owns us.
I think the way that global politics is kind of now, any idiot can claim to be the boss. So I just thought I'd just take that in space, right? As the token outsider.
if you wanted to go full, like if you wanted to take it full LinkedIn professional mode, you'd have to put award-winning manager director. Australia. You go full LinkedIn mode. You just award yourself an award
and award winning top three most influential CEOs for 2024 as awarded by just a little reminder that there's a big one.
My favorite is when people put like shit in quotes. You see that on ads all the time. Best safety person in Australia. Like, and I'm like, who said that? Like, is that your mom?
I said that. Might have been, yeah. Look, I'm all ready to go, boys. I've got my Captain America mug.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yes.
He's been invited to the group chat for war planning.
Yeah, Captain America, world economist.
So I'm going to throw one at you guys. And this should be a pretty easy underhand pitch here to you. I'm just going to steal it right from your podcast. What are you guys listening to this week? What's on the old, I was going to say CD. That's not a thing anymore, is it? What's on the Walkman this week?
The 8-track?
Yeah, the 8-track.
Discman.
Yeah. A little bit backwards.
Yeah, the anti-skip technology.
Anti-skip.
With the anti-skip, yeah. Nice.
In case I was going jogging, which I think would clear, I'm not.
Oh, yogi. Yeah.
It's a soft J.
Well, they used to sell that with the anti-skip that came specifically with the armband for
it. Yeah. So you hold
your compact disc player on your arm. It's just a big flex, right? Big flex.
Yeah exactly.
I like them guns.
I had to get the really small version, like the child version.
Where you velcroed it to your center console, and you had to have the lead connected to your cassette and in.
It had like the little eighth inch jack and a plug in, and had like
driving along and changing the CD. And
yeah, buddy. Well, I've been listening to The Descendants.
Yeah, you have.
I bet. Milo Goes to College. It's a classic.
Goes to College.
Okay. Yeah. I don't go to college anymore. That exactly.
Before you run.
That's me, but no hair.
That was the best 23 years of Ron's life in college.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm still, man, Propagandhi is, it's timely. And they're touring again. They're going to be playing here. So
yeah, nice.
That's a good one to listen to, man. I like a little bit of Propagandhi.
Yeah. I've been diving a bit into the Codefendants, just in honor you, Ben. Yeah, just
sure.
I mean, we don't wear enough shirts and ties and suits anymore, so right. Good to see a few boys who, you know,
they're think about their appearances on stage. Keeping it professional.
Yeah. Sam, what are you listening to?
It's always a strange mix, man. But if I wanted to maybe keep it more appropriate for our conversation, what's sitting on my Spotify right now is Fiddler. So if you're not listening to Fiddler, I love them.
I don't even know the sound you just made, Sam.
Fiddler. And it might be appropriate because I didn't realize this until I'd been listening to them for more than a few years that it actually stands for Fuck It, Dog, Life's a Risk. So,
kind of cool.
Yeah. They're nice SoCal band, Ron. They're cool.
I like that. Yeah. Okay. Let's check them out. Thank you.
San Diego.
Yeah. Scholars debate.
So let's talk.
I don't think we really know.
Let's talk safety stuff.
Let's talk safety
stuff. Let's just kill the mood right now, right out of the gate. Jump into it head first, asking some possibly fireable questions. What's the dumbest shit you guys are seeing right now? Related to the dumpster fire that is safety.
Is it a dumpster fire?
You are fired.
The warmth is so comforting. Delicious.
Fire. It's the smell that gets you with the dumpster fire. It's never the
sure. Right. That cooking grease, though. You know, you catch a whiff of French fry here and there. It's all right.
So, I mean, most of the dumb shit that I see these days is related to, I think, an inability to understand the difference between what you see after an accident and what is foreseeable before the accident. Because I'm not going to give very many examples, because if I did, I'm pretty sure I would get fired.
Specific what things. Are you getting fired from? Do you have a job?
I do.
Isn't that like the running goal of your old show, though, is to try to get
fired? We've done it once. We're on to the second job now, aren't we, Ron? Since we started the pod, this is job number two.
Oh, man. Yeah. I can't give out too many details on it. So much stuff that people will just say, and it makes total sense when the only thing that matters on earth is, hey, that accident happened and it was bad. We don't want it to happen again. And it makes total sense to say what you're saying in that context. But then you take it out of that and put it into the real world of, hey, actually we have work to do and we're just, you know, doing stuff and we're managing multiple risks. And it's like, well, that, like those words you just said are complete fucking nonsense. they're laughable.
If I had a nickel.
Laughably stupid. I wish I could.
T-shirt. Laughably stupid.
Yeah, that's a bullshit.
We've only designed maybe two or three t-shirts since we even started talking about having this podcast. So I'm interested to see how many we come up with throughout.
Okay. Yes, that should be the drinking
bumper stickers game. At least.
Bumper stickers. New shirt.
I'm still waiting for the hop nerd fiddler t-shirt to come out. Yes.
That's how I get my 45th cease and desist. We'll see how that goes.
Okay, I'm pretty sure these people don't listen to the podcast. Here's one where they literally said, this person literally said that we have to, if it's written down in a, you know, sort of pre-job documentation, then that will prevent the incident.
Yeah, perfect.
And that was just like blew my mind. People thinking,
just nailed it.
Wow. What magic words are we writing? Is this like, you know, wizard script? Like what?
Well, it's a great example though, right? I mean, that's how you end up with four, five, 6 page long pre-job brief documents. Yeah. Because every time some ounce of only shit hits six? The fan. Yeah, only six. That's a small one, man.
All you need is like,
well, there should have been a checkbox. Why wasn't there a checkbox? If there was a box to check, they would have talked about it and they would have totally prevented this from happening. Yeah. It's like, okay. Sure, man.
You just need like a a cauldron, a rabbit, pointy hat, right?
No problem. Wait,
I do have some holy water back there.
Do you?
Kind of slinging that around on some safety stuff lately. See if that helps. Yeah. All right, you've got some weird video props.
Yeah. All right, time for a keg stand.
I man, I had a long discussion with a legal team the other day on a guidance, just a piece of guidance that we were putting together. About how we're moving from these sort of openly punitive, it's not even investigation. It is literally like a courtroom. There are people sitting on one side. The accused is on the other. And you sort of know you're getting fired, but you have to have some theater first. And they want to move away from that, and that's cool. And so we said, look, let's describe kind of the theory of this shift in this guidance document. So people kind of pick it up, and it's not just a checklist. And there's a little bit of language in there that says, look, we want to do this because we value learning all the time, not just when there's a fuck up. That's like two sentences in. That's as far as we got. So we can't have that.
I mean, what the
we
word
can't
fuck
have that like, because then someone's going to hold us accountable for learning.
Like, we might actually have to normal, do something. Could you imagine
normal things? And then how much learning is enough learning? I said, well, I don't know. But there's a big sort of engraved thing when you walk in your building, and one of these four core tenets is continuous improvement. I thought that's sort of like you engraved it, man. So somebody's probably going to hold you accountable to that. And maybe learning is a way. And anyway, we had to take it out. I thought that was kind of dumb.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot like a process I know pretty well called a PHERB. I don't know if you guys have seen that. It sounds like a lot like
of
that.
Acronyms right here.
Yeah. It comes from a very specific industry that focuses on performance. What is it? Potential Human Error Review Board. And all the way down amazing. To exactly what you just described, Ben, to where Ooh. Even there's like a seating chart in the procedure. It's like senior leader sit here, the accused sits there, sweat lamp over here, stack of phone books over there. And it always baffled me because I'm thinking back, I'm having flashbacks to one of those procedures where it said something really similar to what you're saying. It's like, we're here to learn unless we discover that someone made an error, mistake, or violation.
And then,
phone books come out. Yeah. We're doing phone books.
Yeah. 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 Makes sense. Checks out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, no, Dave, go do your thing first.
I think the two sort of themes that I'm sort of coming back to a lot with the approach to safety is kind of like, understand the relationship between the safety work and the safety of work, right? And so this idea of like you're saying is what's all the stupid shit that we see going on is just a whole bunch of random safety shit that makes no difference. And then this idea of like do safety with people, not to people. Like it's and I don't know whether I've been thinking about it too long or but it seems pretty simple to me. Like how fucking hard is it to try to understand what's going to actually make a difference and work with your people on it. Like it doesn't seem so fucking hard, but companies still now are just going, I've got a fucking great idea. This is going to help. And the people are going, well, no, it's not, but I'll do it if I have to.
I'll make you think that I do it if I have to.
Yeah. This working. Yeah. Simulating. So this working at cross purposes and I don't fucking get it anymore. Maybe this might help me think through this, but I just see companies just spending so much time coming up with things that they think, and no one's bad intentioned in all of this, but it's broken. The way that we think about how to improve safety and work is just, I think, fundamentally broken in organizations. Yeah. So, and I know the way around that. Maybe you can help me, Sam.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to kick one out to you guys and maybe get your thoughts on it before I chime in. But something I've been seeing a lot lately is this big rallying cry for back to the basics. I'm seeing it like everywhere.
Back to the good old days.
Like back to the good old days. And I'll throw a little color on my opinion on it before we go. But as soon as I think like that look on the past with nostalgia crap that we kind of do. I mean, I was just having a conversation with an older family member the other day.
Sure.
I was basically going on this rant, right? Like on this rant of like, you know, my God, why can't it be like 1955 again? And I'm like, yeah, perfect time when my daughter couldn't get a bank account when she turns 18 without being married. That sounds like a wonderful,
sure,
a wonderful time to go back to. When I hear that, it almost just sounds like this kind of dog whistle to just kind of retreat, just regress back to things that maybe haven't even worked all that well for us. But what do you guys think? I've seen that one a ton, like everywhere. The pendulum conversation, which is another one that drives me freaking insane.
It's back to a time, Dave can get on board with this, when laziness was okay. Right.
I thought he was going to say, don't be so fucking lazy. And
he didn't.
It's like, I should have worn a shirt, but
that's what people want, right? They want to go back to a time where my thinking isn't being challenged.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what you're nostalgic for. And you know, it's the loss of that comfort, man. Mm-hmm. And people, you know, they were uncomfortable, but you forget that.
Yeah.
Right. That stuff goes, it fades, and you come back and go, fuck, man, nobody made me, you know, not be an asshole to other people at work. I could just play grab ass all day and not get fired. Well, it was pretty fucking uncomfortable for a lot of people.
Everyone except for you.
Man, back in the day, we could just kill 3 or 4 people a year. I didn't even have that much paperwork to fill out. That's what I think it is. It's like, it's not even sanctioned laziness. It's just like there was enough other shit to think about that we didn't have time to think about thinking. I don't know. I got all wound up there. Now I'm
stuck.
I don't know where to go.
You got all cranky.
This is the place to get cranky. That's kind of what we do around here.
I already had a webinar I fucked around on earlier today. So
yeah, you choose your own adventure.
I chose
two speaking gigs in one day. Look at you go.
Yeah.
Just stacking money like Scrooge McDuck.
Swimming in it. Swimming.
No, I think so. First off, in general, there was an interesting study that showed that they were able to find data.
Is it yours?
No, this is not my. I'm doing something really different. I'm not citing my own fucking paper, Dave.
Not yet. There's time.
Found data about public perceptions of how much better things were in the past versus now, and how bad things are now, and it just showed that every decade, everybody believed the same fucking thing that in 30, 40 years ago was so much better. People were nicer, kinder, but today we're shit. You know, but then they also found other data to show that actually, no, that's bullshit. It's not like we're getting worse. Actually, by most standards, when you ask people how things are getting better, and you know, in so many ways. And it's just that's just an interesting phenomenon as it relates to safety. I agree with you, Sam. It drives me crazy because I think that when you look at most of those arguments, the very next sentence or two sentences afterwards is, things worked in the past. It was just people didn't follow them. They didn't use them. That's the problem. And so it's just they implicitly go right back to, oh, we fucked it up. You fucked it up. These other people fucked it up. And I think even in the societal arguments, it's the same thing. It just tends to be more bigoted. But,
flavor.
At a safety level, it's if people just did it correctly, then it would work. And that's such a lazy argument, in my opinion.
There you go, Dave.
That's a great Ron fucked it up. But I think I hear that, Sam, a lot, that back to basics, back to the fundamentals of safety. And, you know, I also think, looking back, though, it's not all good and it's not all bad, right? I was talking to someone last week about, and the story was really cool. They were telling me, about 15 or 20 years ago, on this site, leaders used to go out into the field and the safety team used to go out in the field. And the way they did their field leadership was they'd all wear a vest and they'd carry a site radio. And only the managers and supervisors had site radios. And the whole purpose of going out in the field was to understand the challenges and issues that people had and solve them kind of on the spot, resolve them on the spot. So they go over to the team, what's going on? Oh, you know, we can't get a hold of the electrical superintendent. It's on the radio, find it, get them here now. And then the leaders would sort of facilitate the I guess it's joint cognitive activity, Ron, but I'm no PhD expert.
That sounds like it.
But so I was having the conversations guy and said, if you went into your organization and they said, oh, we stopped doing it like 20 years ago and all this, and we do this kind of checklist now and this form and this field leadership process and all this, which is sort of like everyone goes out and does 10 a month and they tick a box. And I was kind of reflecting, going, if you were like someone who subscribes to, you know, one of the fancy new ideas in safety, and you said, okay, in our organization, we're going to do this. We're just going to send leaders out informally. They're going to be connectors. They're going to look for goal conflicts, constraints, challenges. They're going to connect the organization to, you know, what it needs at that point in time and balance and adjust, you know, issues. You'd be a fucking genius, right? You go, this is the most innovative, amazing practice. And I was kind of reflecting on a few things that I was doing or seeing in safety in the 90s. And there were some things that we were doing before the forms and before the paperwork, which was really about leadership and coordination and climate without all the paperwork of today, that I actually think were pretty damn good ways to do what we're doing. So, you know, I think that when people say going back to the basics and they talk about doing a better risk assessment, that's not good. But if people talk about, hey, there's some practices that we used to do that, you know, I actually think work pretty well, then, you know, maybe there's something to learn there.
I don't think that's what they mean, though. I think they say going back to basics. They just do the fucking JSA.
Yeah, stop when it's unsafe.
Yeah.
Stop when unsafe. Add an extra page to the pre-job.
Stop talking about it when it's unsafe. Just get the fucking work done.
Back to the old, you know, write-up books with the carbon paper in them so you had duplicates.
Oh, so good. Accident report books.
Yeah. Oh, somebody – who put that on LinkedIn the other day? Somebody put a picture of, you know, like a – it's almost like a traffic ticket.
Yes.
A safety violation ticket in triplicate. They had uncovered a stack of these things from back in the day.
Oh,
that just sounds fun. Oh,
man, don't threaten me with a good time.
Just triplicate. Now you're talking. You
get a violation. Everybody gets a violation.
I was working with a company that had an operation in Brazil, and because to make something stick, you we're all in parts of the world who call it soccer, right, or football, and their leadership visit program. People actually walked around with physical red cards and green cards in their pocket. And when they saw an unsafe act, they'd literally red card people and then or saw something safe, they green card, write the person's name on the red card or the green card and sort of drop it in the box. And at the end of each month, they'd draw out one name on one green card. And this is sort of 2025, right? This is happening right now. But it's like, you get a red card.
I mean, the best part is you give a red card and the guy just flops and starts rolling around on the floor.
No, that's in Italy. That's not in
sure.
The thing that like is another aspect of this that's implicit is like, okay, go back to the basics that worked so well in the past. And that part, again, drives me crazy because based off of what? What are we basing that statement off of? Because we're lumping a whole lot of stuff. And to Dave's point, there may be some of it that was actually quite good and useful, but then there's a whole slew of it that's bullshit and snake oil. But like, how are we evaluating what's what? Like what felt good or what we like, you know, what I did in the beginning, back in the day, you know, yeah. Out with bros. You know, like
look at I think Ben's got the audit history, right? Ben will be able to tell you from all of the audits.
I brought up behavioral safety.
Let me just flick to 1997 in my audit drawer. Oh, look, I've got all the reports. What do you want to know, Ron?
Behavioral safety today earlier, and I thought, geez, where are these assholes when I need them? Yeah. Just to claim I think Ron was the official behavioral safety guy there for a while.
Yeah.
I'll take the
crown. Oh man!
Yeah, I think we nominated you because I was so busy auditing, I didn't have time.
was that the one when I was not there?
Which one?
No, I think you were there. I mean, we're clearly not paying attention.
But. No. Yeah, and I guess that's the whole thing is just the big part of it that's just really frustrating. It's a really nice little pithy statement that, oh yeah, that we can rally around. But when you really break it down to, okay, what does that mean I need to go do, then it gets messy, it gets funny, you know, it gets goofy. Like, I don't know for sure exactly what you mean. What are, quote, what are the basics? And B, how do I know which ones work and which ones didn't? Because I go back to my original, like, you know, education as a safety professional, and like, there was a lot of stuff in there that was bullshit, like, that we know demonstrably is false. There was some stuff that's good. Like, how are we supposed to evaluate that? And I just saying, go back to basics doesn't solve that problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right, mate. Don't stress. OSHA won't be a thing for much longer. Don't have to worry.
There are some sort of, there is sort of a resurgence of, I don't know if it's a rebranded basics maybe, but like an energy wheel is not new and innovative. You know what I mean? I mean, this is shit. A million, back when OSHA was, you know, sort of a big deal around here. Not anymore. Back in its heyday. You know, but you could do any OSHA 30-hour course, and you're talking about the energy wheel, essentially. Right? Maybe it wasn't in a wheel form.
Probably was.
Could have been. You know, I think there is this sort of resurgence of some of those ideas. We talked a little bit about that earlier today. Like, you know, you start talking about critical controls, man, you're going to find a risk matrix floating around in some of these things too, right? This shit is old. It's been around forever. You find traces of fault trees in there. It's basic. It's been around forever. I think, you know, to Ron's point and Dave's as well, it doesn't mean, because it's old or basic doesn't mean it's bad. I think we just have to be pretty fucking skeptical about what people mean.
Yeah.
And I think they mean the comfort of not, of being able to be lazy. They need the t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you guys are spot on. You know, I think a lot of the conversations I've heard around that is to your point, Ben, I think it's to that. It's back to the basics in my mind. And the way that I'm saying this means that I want to go back to hearts and minds and posters and procedural use and adherence. And when I find that procedures aren't used or adhered to, then I want to put them in front of that tribunal that you were mentioning, Ben, because that's what we did before. And we just got rid of those bad apples. That was super easy. We didn't have to fix anything. It was great. We just fired people. But if we're prying that apart, to Dave's point, you know, if we find those things that we were doing the right stuff, effective stuff, and it was far easier. We didn't complicate it with 47 forms to go along with going and spending time in the field and being curious. That seems like a probably good use of going back to the basics. But I'm with you. I don't think that's necessarily the rallying cry that I hear is, what's with all this touchy-feely crap about trying to take better care of people? I don't understand this. Can we just start beating them again? Like, that was easy, man. Good God. It's just way better.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, yeah, oftentimes you will, you know, I have many conversations. Okay, we have an accident and like the guy violated a rule or whatever like that. And like, okay, you'd start digging in like, well, no, he was told it in the orientation. Okay, but like, let's go and look at the orientation. The orientation is crap. You know, it's a guy sitting there reading a piece of paper to people, you know, and like with, you know, freaking 500 rules that like, 400 of which are the same fucking rules that the guy heard at the last job site, but there's 100 of them that are different, but you know, they don't flag which ones are different. And that's one of the ones that they broke. And now, you know, he obviously doesn't give a shit about safety. And it's like, okay, but like the orientation sucked. Well, but you know, we can't fix everything. But it's like,
we told him about the rules.
Yeah.
He had to know. We trained him. He signed the paper. In the back of the safety manual, he signed it that he got. He even put the last four of his social on it. Like, we know he understood the rules. Yeah,
exactly. Like,
just thinking about this a little bit now about some of the things that we're talking about, I think one of the things that we're failing at is the sort of viable alternative, because when people go back to basics, they're doing that in the absence of knowing what an alternative might be. And I think that's one of the failings that we've got in safety today. And the reason I've been thinking about this a lot is because I've been working with a company who's come and said, okay, people come through the gate in the morning. People do go to a pre-start meeting and then they do a whole bunch of safety shit and then sometime an hour or two later they start their job. Right? And it might be a combination of find a procedure, sign something off, do a job hazard safety analysis, then go and get a permit and then go and sign something else off and then do a stop card or a take five and then, you know, and then it's time for morning smoko. Do you guys call it smoko? All right.
No, but only in the
chat. What are you even talking about?
All right. Well, so like morning tea. Do you call it morning? Do you call it morning tea? Is that just a Commonwealth thing?
The next construction site I go on here in the United States, I'm going to ask about when we're having morning tea.
Yeah, that's like go for the 52nd state will understand what that is. But okay, smoko. It's morning smoko. It's when you okay. Right.
It's your break. Yeah. Okay.
No, we got it.
So anyway, but then you have to do that because you spent the first 2 hours of the day doing your safety stuff, and then you can't start work until mid morning. But anyway, this organization's come and gone. What is it that people should do between when they go out to do a job and when they actually physically start working? And they sort of we're blank paging that, right? And it's really forced me to think about. We haven't provided too many viable alternatives from the basics, right? And if the basics are risk assessment, procedure, competency, induction, whatever those things are, I think we can go. Well, people are saying back to basics because we haven't given them anything else.
Yeah,
which that's interesting because I don't know what the basics. So like. Back to keep kind of even the point I was making is like back to basics can mean so many fucking different things. Like what is the thing I need to create a viable alternative to, you know, like, cause there are maybe some things that we can point to that like, okay, if we're talking about one individual thing, I can point to, well, here's a different way to do that individual practice that I think is more productive. You know, like you said, with the leadership walks, right? Like, yeah, we can go out and do a fucking checklist or we can just go out and talk to people. Like, that's a viable alternative. But if it's like, I don't know. Here's something that we got to do, though. It's like PRBS, punk rock-based safety. Come on. Like, that – the book writes itself.
You know, look, we're going to have cars. Made up for all the half-assing so far in just this one day.
You might get a cease and desist from our government around our pharmaceutical benefit scheme. You might need a different acronym, but
yeah. Ron, are you in a blender?
Sorry.
What are you making, smoothies? This fucking guy.
Yeah, he's running the juice cleanse right now. He's
the juice guy. <tiger. laughs>
All right, I'll mute myself.
No, listen.
It's those
don't get a fucking thing.
It's those Golden State Warriors players out mowing lawns looking for a new job for next season.
Fuck you.
He's even got the OKC hat on.
60 wins, 60 wins, baby. It's like the 15-16 version of the Warriors.
Yeah, close.
Ooh, well played.
Perfect.
But I guess what is the viable alternative then? You know what I mean? Like to your all's point, like, okay, what is the retort or the response that we give back to people?
Yeah, you know, viability is the, I think that gets pretty tricky, right? Because now you get into those discussions about, well, you know, what if we had some mechanism that we applied to a normal Tuesday and when something bad happens, you know, that's an alternative. And folks then say, well, that's not viable. Someone will sue us because we didn't do enough learning or, you know, we didn't fire somebody. And I think that's that sort of weird cycle of we can talk about alternatives. And people are often open to it. Think, oh man, that's cool. And then we get back to that sort of core backward belief that underpins the rest of that shit. And that's the back to basics. And it just drags things back unintentionally. Well, sometimes unintentionally, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think any attorneys, you know, set out to say they don't want to learn as an organization. They didn't seem like those sort of folks. I just think it's this weird sort of misplaced worry.
I think you can get to the bottom of it, though, by just engaging with people. Like, I think if someone comes and goes, we need to get back to basics, I think you can have a really good conversation about, like you said a little bit, Ron, what does that actually fucking mean? Like, what do you mean? What's missing for you, or what's not working for you? And even when people say we need to do more audit and checking, and then they might, and then you question it, and they might go, oh, well, actually, you know, people aren't sort of working the way that we expect them to work. Okay, great. Well, what's that? Oh, well, actually, we got a lot of new people in the industry, and you know, they're not very experienced, and they're not doing the work the way that it needs to be done. Okay, fine. But you started with, let's go back to basics and discipline people. But the problem is actually, you know, more around, and then you can sort of have a conversation about, you know, do we think that where you started was, you know, the best way to solve this underlying kind of concern or deficiency you've got. So I still don't think people are natural, on the most part, dickheads. Well, there's some, or there might be several. But the idea of just engaging in a conversation. But I think we just run off with assumptions about, oh, this leader said we need to get back to basics. Okay, let's write some new procedures. And then it doesn't work. And then the manager comes on and goes, no, that's not what I fucking meant. What I meant was this. So lead with questions, maybe.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. No, exactly.
Maybe like a whole card deck or something with like a whole bunch of, you know, useful questions to ask or something.
Yeah. Who knows?
There's even an app.
Who would think they make it like super easy? I don't know. Oh, my God.
Or an app.
That maybe would seem ridiculous. That. But I think
we should come up with an app.
We should
punk rock safety.
You should come up with an app that doesn't suck.
I think we can translate those cards into some different languages as well to make it easier for folk as well.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Could you imagine if? Oh my God! What if we spent time asking more interesting questions? The world would fall apart.
Video, maybe on a skateboard with one of Ben's many decks. Dicks.
I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
The Kiwi pronunciation.
Look at my dick, bro. All the letters.
I think that's an interesting point, though, that you guys are kind of driving towards there, though. When there's that lack of, okay, give me something to do. Right. If we're not, I'm going back to the basics unless you give me something to do. But I know personally I struggle with that. I'd love to hear from you guys. Like, I don't think that there's one right way that's going to go across the board that is the way. I think we've seen that play out a couple times and it always fucking sucks. Right? It never goes well. So not to go back to your catchphrase too much there, Dave, but maybe it is a bit of being fucking lazy, right, as organizations and not wanting to figure it out. I know where we want to go, but I don't really want to figure that out. Like, I don't want to pry those basics apart to understand these were the basics that we've done that have worked extremely well for us, that are valuable to us, that we know these are kind of treasure, and this is the trash pile. I think a lot of folks are just waiting, right? We're just waiting to see if someone is going to gift us the canned something, and I just open the can and, aha, safety promise land. I don't know, just some loose thoughts kind of bumping into my head as you guys were kind of chatting about that. Because I know personally, I get kind of weird. I don't want to, if I'm not spending time with an organization really understanding, who am I to prescribe something to them?
Sure.
I don't want to get prescriptive.
You're McKinsey.
Yeah. Like, here, this will
There's
work.
Another letter. I'm glad it's your podcast.
Give this a shot. Yeah, this is going to be, this is beep. Right, you're going to get like a little...
Yeah.
Been in the whole Department of Government Efficiency. Jesus Christ.
Well, but you know what, though? I was thinking about that, and I think maybe, Dave, there's a little more of it in this country right now, too, is that sort of tendency to just go, fuck it, man. I'll just do what's written. There's some bare minimum stuff. And this is another client, and I had this discussion the other day. They said, well...
And all the clients...
So far, this is two discussions.
And two webinars and a podcast.
Wow. You almost have a full day of work.
This is all in the so half day's work winning. For him. My God.
I'm going to go meet with all Dave's clients a little later.
Big time, good heart. Awesome. Sorry, man.
No, you're not.
So good.
I've earned it. I forgot what I was fucking saying. Oh,
this client.
We had all these good ideas, and everybody's going, man, this is going to be so cool. We really want to be in an organization that other folks doing this sort of work look up to. Okay, cool. Let's map this out. We'll kind of introduce it to a few more people. And the immediate pushback was, we don't want to do that right now. We need to do exactly what the regulation says and no more. That's all we're doing.
Awesome.
And I think that some of that, I don't think 2 years ago it was quite as pointed. And I don't want to blame everything on current political climate, but I think it is unsafe psychologically or for a business or what have you. It is unsafe to stick your neck out and say, hey, we're going to experiment and go beyond the minimum or the norm of the regulatory requirement. There's no upshot to it right now.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of organizations, I think, yeah. You know, as soon as you start, you know, being noticed, you're a target is, I think, what a lot of organizations, especially the ones that have any link to funding that comes through a state, a city, a federal. And that's a lot of companies, man. Even if it's just contracts, they're going, fuck me. Okay.
Well, there's just a lot of safety in the middle of the pack. Right. And I've seen that play out even non-governmental kind of stuff. Right. With certain industry organizations that some of our previous employers have belonged to. Right. We all have some of those. Many of our.
I mean, Ron's going to have another previous employer.
Right. Like there was danger in being in the front. Right. There, yeah. To your point, Ben, like sticking 100%. Your head up, like there's danger in being in the front. There's danger getting picked off by hyenas in the rear. Right. And if you're in the middle, like if I'm just kind of like doing the average stuff, I can follow what they're doing up front. If they screw it up, I'm not in any trouble. As long as I'm not back there, I'll just follow whatever's going on up there. It buys me a little bit of time. It's a really safe place for me to be. It's a super safe place for me to be. Things aren't getting all that much better, at least not very quickly. Yeah. But at least I don't have that scary risk of maybe innovating a little bit in my space.
Yeah, and I think one of the challenges for that is I think businesses will always do things that make sense to them, like this whole, you know, local rationality, right? Like mm-hmm. even like what makes sense. And I think you're right. Like, and sometimes when you think, what's the compelling event? And sometimes if, you know, the company's had a really bad accident, then there's a compelling event and then it might take a little bit more risk or make a little bit more investment. But if you're sort of a middle-of-the-pack company, the real challenge for us in helping those organizations, I think, is
that
to make
just flowed into who's the middle of the pack. He said, if you're a middle of the pack company, you know, and the challenge for us is it just sounded funny. Yeah. Man, I was like, amen, brother. Middle of the pack. I got you.
I aspire to be a middle of the pack company.
Mediocre as fuck.
second last is winning, right?
Just have to run faster than the last guy, right?
But the challenge for us as safety professionals, just to finish off that sentence, Ben, before you rudely cut in and jump to conclusions. The challenge for us, I think, as safety people, is to make some of these things make a lot of sense. And I think when we're coming in at a very principled level and saying we need to adopt these principles, we need to have this, you know, like it's really hard. And particularly a lot of us work in asset intensive industries that are really heavily engineering focused, that, you know, really want to see cause and effect and A to B and the path and the plan. A lot of things that we're coming to organizations with don't sort of operate like that. And I think that can be just really hard for a company to commit, right? And say, okay, we're going to do this and we don't actually know all the things we're going to do and we actually don't know how we're going to measure the outcomes we're going to get. And so it kind of brings you back to that viable alternative thing is like, and I think that's where something like learning teams has taken a bit of ground because people go, okay, this is an activity I can perform. This is when I do it. This is what it takes to do it. This is, you know, what comes out of it. And I think that's an example for so some of these other things we're trying to do. I think less principled, more practical, and then I think more organizations are going to be able to go, oh yeah, okay, that makes sense. Let's do that.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think, you know, a lot of what we're describing is, I mean, it comes back to something I think is really big. I know Drew thinks this is a big deal too with safety management. It's about, I know, look at that. So he's smart guy. Names. You might try to disagree with me, but fuck you. Drew's on my side.
Is that tier one? I feel like.
No. Depends who's rating, right? Depends who gets to decide.
But like anxiety management, like a lot of these organizations are, you know, trying to figure out what to do. And especially in a situation like you are describing, Dave, where it's like, hey, we got a lot of these really interesting theories, but I'm kind of a little worried about how to do it. And will that mean I'm juggling all this other stuff? I might drop a ball while I'm trying to add in this other cool thing over here. And then back to, you know, Ben, your point about like, you know, really scary times. You know, and Sam, even your point about like, hey, I kind of don't know for sure what the right thing to do is here because there's no silver bullet. I'm waiting for it. Nobody's giving it. Makes sense to just, okay, fine, fuck it. I'm just going to do compliance until you tell me. And so to your point, Dave, I think a lot of what we need to be focused on is how are we helping? How does the tool that we're recommending not only make the job site safer, but like how can we help the organization manage some of the inherent anxieties and risks associated with that, whether that's just a packaging thing or whether that is, you know, something that needs to be inherent in the process, depends probably. But if we're not thinking about that, that's probably a lot of the pushback you're getting.
Also, I tuned out a little bit after you were talking about Ron being the tool that you're recommending. Sorry. The rest just kind of, yeah.
It just, it's all faded to black.
Sorry, man. I agree. I agree. I think absolutely.
So many sound bites.
None of it. All the sound bites that are going to be worth a shit are going to have nothing to do with any of the actual safety conversation, which makes this the best. Because that's kind of bring that, I guess, a little back into the conversation. That's kind of where my mind was going with that, guys, is that, you know, this show me the result side of this conversation. Yeah. You know, you still have to start something though to start to move towards seeing a result from it, right? I see this conversation play out a lot of times with operational learning, generally speaking, more on the pre-event side of that equation. I think that at least most organizations I spend time with, we seem to be pretty good at post-event learning. And I don't mean effective. I just mean we do it. Right? Yeah. Like if something bad happens, if I'm in a session with a group full of leaders and shit hits the fan, the room evacuates and I'm standing there by myself and I'm happy because I get to leave early. But everybody goes. Like there's corporate planes fueled somewhere. Like people go. Like it's we're on top of it. Time, resources, people, everything. Pour as much of it out as we need after shit hits the fan. But back to this conversation that seems to be really on repeat for me, it's like, well, how do we do this? Like, what do we do? Well, you actually have to go do it. like if you want to get into learning pre-event, don't think safety stuff. Don't put it in that stupid safety bucket. Think about ops. Just ops in charge. Ops is king. Go towards ops. Move that direction and go start having interesting conversations. Well, we can't do that. Nothing bad's happened. So it's like we end up in this loop of like, we're not going to free up time, resources, or people to actually go do anything until we get an output that says, oh shit, we should have done something.
Yeah.
Right. And so it feels like to me, like if we're really invested in moving in a bit of that different direction, we still have to start with a commitment of like, well, hell, I'm going to have to pour some time and resource into this because if I actually find it valuable or I value this thing, of course I will pour time and resources into it. So when I get the answer, well, we're not going to do that. Well, you just told me you don't find it all that valuable. Yeah. So we seem to be stuck kind of in like this wheel of like, yeah, just more of the same until something bad happens. Then we'll kind of maybe take a look at that. Maybe we'll push back to the basics. We'll put up the poster and then we'll go back to the
same. You know, businesses are good at this sort of stuff when you remove the word safety. Right?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was chipping away at a little bit.
I need to go buy a new piece of equipment. I need to build a new facility. I decide I'm going to acquire another organization or roll it in. And these are all pretty speculative things. You've got some idea what that's going to do for us. But you've made some calculation in your head that it's worthwhile. And I think it is possible to follow that same sort of roadmap when we're talking about this pre-shit hitting the fan instead of just post-shit hitting the fan.
Yeah.
And that's not everything, right? But when you can have that discussion with leaders who are used to committing those resources under uncertainty, you say, look, dude, we've got a little uncertainty here. Here are the things we do know that we can connect. Dave, you said that connect A to B. Now, we may have to go A to C through B. It's a little different, but I think we can get, there's some indicator of progress or improvement.
Just connecting, maybe just thinking then, connecting your point, Sam, and Ben, your point, like, you know, we sort of, leaders today manage by exception, right? Which is like, okay, here's the monthly safety report. Okay, few greens, nothing major, fucking move on, right? Safety tick. And companies need to do that. You're saying, Ben, like companies get really good at that because if there's nothing wrong then, or there's no problem, then no obvious problem showing up in a report, then fuck, you know, things must be good enough. Okay, there's no compelling reason to spend more time and effort on this. And then I think to your point, Ben, when you talk about acquisitions or new facilities, that's all about improving the underlying performance of the business in terms of growth or profit, right? And that's what it's all about. And so I think one of the opportunity that we might have in this space would be to if you can go to your organization and go, you know, this is the value contribution that this makes, not just to safety, but all other aspects of operational performance. You know, when we understand better the work that our people do, we can not only make it safer, we can make it more efficient, more effective, better coordinated, better customer satisfaction. And I think that's the real, if in the absence of an obvious safety problem, I think you need to connect what you're trying to do to safety to not just safety outcomes in the business, because then you can get advice. Like if you walk in your CEO and go, and just pick it, like forget the fucking safety stats, like go to your finance team and say, what is the least profitable part of our organization right now? What's the problem?
Safety.
I think safety. Okay. Well played. Okay.
Start cutting overhead fast.
What's the least profitable operational unit in the business? And then go, you know, do I have an idea for you? Okay. And then go to that leader and go to the CEO and say, I'm going to work with this operational unit and we're going to improve the operational performance of this business, right? And then your CEO is going to go, fucking perfect. Go for it, right? What do you need? And then you go to that, and I've tried this once, this real story. Then you go to that GM and go, hey, by the way, your business unit is the worst performing operational unit. The company thinks you're a shit manager and you're about to get fired. But work with me and I'll run cover for you.
Here's your money and resources.
Yeah. just work with me. And that's how I first implemented learning teams 15 years ago. Actually, at the time, learning teams. It was focus groups, but it was going into the part of the organization saying, the organization thinks you're shit, but I can help you. Not in those words, but I think
wore that's a cool, like, cape too.
What you were saying, Ben, like, because otherwise you just got to kind of sit there and wait for the ambulance, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yep. Ben, that's what I meant by that, right? You know, companies are generally good. I know.
That's what gave me the idea.
Well, I think I said it and then you just said it, but you said
it's
sounded
A to C.
Like an Australian. And
it's A to C going through Ben.
What? Any more of my good ideas, Dave, that you want to?
No, gosh, let me just pull up the trademark application.
Hashtag ForgeWorks.
No, and I love it. And I think it's going to kind of like lead us towards a little bit of maybe a wrap-up question, I guess, for some of our conversation, because
I can get the fuck out of here.
I will say, if I disappear, I've got a little bit of time, but I have to go pick up a 10-year-old pretty soon.
Okay. Just to be clear, Sam,
she's going to send you all cease and desist. Like
Sam's daughter.
Just to be clear, that 10-year-old is known to you, right?
Just to be clear. Oh, come on.
Just just before this gets kicked off of YouTube.
Yeah, fuck me.
Or wherever. It is Sam's child.
For the avoidance of doubt.
Yeah. The tenure.
So your wrap-up question.
Why did that recording just turn off?
Oh. I can't believe that.
There he is. Hey. I thought he just bailed on us.
Welcome to the Hop Nerd Podcast.
No
deal.
That's it. Well, I think we ought to just wrap this thing up.
Yeah, it takes pride in the whole 300 episode deal.
This is like being on a punk rock safety podcast, honestly.
So are we done? Did we solve it?
Yeah, I think we solved it. This has been the Hop Nerd Podcast. I'm Sam Goodman.
with your wonderful guests, and we'll be back more next week.
Sam and Sam. That's
that is such a good way to end a podcast with us three idiots on it.
Look at it. Don't point that thing at me.
Yeah. So it worked for 300 episodes and we broke it.
We fucking
checks out. Checks out.
Oh my God.
Good times.
Okay. It's all right. We wrapped it up fun. For you.
It's been fun. Good stuff. Like, share, subscribe. Smash that like button.
Smash it.
I mean, smash the shit out of it.
Yeah. Mate, so Sam can buy himself a new microphone.
Went completely mute.
Yeah, go to the advertisers. Yeah, so Sam gets a little something from his Amazon partners.
Yeah.
Maybe a microphone. Yeah.
Yeah, Sam, new microphone. Buy some shit.
He's going to start a GoFundMe. GoFundMe.
That's just a thank you and fuck off.
Yeah, I think watch we're this.
See you, dude.
We fixed it.
Been fun. See you next time. All right.
I don't even know. How do you shut it off?
Ben just fucked up.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hop Nerd Podcast and the Hop Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help of bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehopnerd.com or send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.